Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get us started. The deputy mayor has been called away at work and has asked me to chair. And actually, Karen, would you like to chair? I just want to double check.
Can you go ahead and chair tonight? I wasn't prepared.
Sure, sure.
Share. I just wanted to make sure
you had the opportunity in case you wanted to.
Thank you. Next time I will.
Okay, great. So I'm Sophia Aragon. I'm going to chair the Burien Airport Committee today, and I will be convening starting at 6:02. And I would like to ask Nathan Hawthorne, our staff, to please call the roll.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Schilling is absent. Karen Valoria?
Here, present.
Mayor Aragon?
Present.
Jimmy Mata? No, Jimmy. Miss Mauser Guerrera is absent. Miss Sly?
Present.
Mr. Wydick? Mr. Harbaugh?
I'm here.
And City Attorney Newsom?
Present.
Okay, thank you. And I have heard from, as I mentioned, the deputy mayor. We've heard from Holly, Steve, and Stephen as well that they would be unable to make this meeting. So, and we know that Councilmember Mata is not here at this time. So I can entertain a motion to excuse these members of the committee who are absent at this time for this meeting today.
I move to excuse those members for today.
Okay, wonderful. Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. So all those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, so Jeff, myself, Savannah, and Karen have voted to excuse our absent members at this time. Okay.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Okay. Could we just verify that we have a quorum?
Okay.
How many members are there in this body? Are there eight or?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, there are eight. Oh, do we need one more? I see what you mean.
Are we expecting Mayor Mata to attend or?
Let me send him a text. And see if he is planning to attend. Okay. Okay, so we will just wait a few minutes. So clearly, if we're short of quorum, we can't really vote to approve minutes or motions that'll happen at this time until we get a quorum. Can we confirm the agenda, Garmin, at this time without a quorum?
I don't think so. Give me just one second. I want to make sure that I am viewing it correctly. So give me just one moment, please.
Sure.
Okay, so just making sure here, but I'm relying, looking in Robert's Rules, 12th edition, 40:7. Mm-hmm. And even in the absence of a quorum, the assembly may fix the time to which it to adjourn, recess, or take measures to obtain a quorum. So it sounds as though for the moment you're taking measures, trying to see if someone will appear, such as a Councilor Mata.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure about our count in terms of 8. I have to say I need to see if you've got 4, that's mm-hmm. not a majority. I just want to see if I can find something that tells me how this body expects for a quorum to be, whether or not it expects for there to be a majority, which would be at least 5, obviously, or if it would do business with 4, but.
Okay.
Technically, and I thought it was odd that we had an even number, there are 9 positions that are supposed to be filled, but we lost one. When Mr. Tortable, I believe, had to step down.
Okay. Let me see if he's actually on the roster. I'm not sure I counted him. Yeah, he's not on the roster. Oh, I see. That's because that at that time we had 9 with him. Okay.
So that would have made it more clear.
Yeah. Odd numbers are helpful that way.
Okay. Obviously, I'm not in a rush, and I can share information, but I don't think that beyond any of that, anything like that, and honestly, they want for me to share the information again with when everyone else is present.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. It may be reasonable for us to not move forward just because you only have 4 of 9 possible positions, and something here.
Okay. So what does the committee think at this point in time? Would you rather hold discussion till our next meeting because we're falling short of quorum, or would you like to discuss, but we're not going to be able to make decisions today?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd note is that if Savannah's like me, she spent some time getting ready to make the presentation she's going to make that I'm looking forward to. And I'm happy to hear it now, but if you want to postpone it for more members, that might be a good idea. Savannah, that's really up to you, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy to share today, but I could also type up what Paige and I have discussed to share via email with the committee so that they can be prepared for the next meeting. And we can do a quick recap.
Okay. That brings us up another good question. And Garmin, I'm wondering is there anything that we can do if we wanted to make some kind of a decision today, could that be done on email to get the input of the rest of the members afterwards?
I think we're really either skirting it or simply not complying with
okay.
I understand the circumstances. I certainly get that. Anyone, and not just a slide, prepares to make a presentation or to share information, you want to be able to do it. I definitely understand that. But the quorum is the fundamental requirement before we can do business. And in a body that officially has 9 and we only have 4 people voting, who have voting rights, I don't believe the ex officio has voting rights. Typically, an ex officio does not. You don't have a quorum, so you really can't do anything.
Okay.
Or something of that sort.
Mm-hmm. So would sharing of information be okay? Nope.
It's an uncomfortable looking attorney.
Yeah. I would rather, this is Karen, I would rather wait until we have a quorum, just so that Savannah doesn't have to do it twice. And that'll, you know, I know you don't mind, but I don't know. But are there things that we need to address before we meet again, such as the Boulevard Park block party?
Yeah. That was my update I was going to share.
I know.
Or I had an idea, but Dave isn't here either, my understanding. I'm sorry, Carmen.
The meeting there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that anything that we do at this point, we don't have a majority, and I think that's what we need, and we don't have a majority right now.
And okay.
Mayor Mata just popped on.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Former Mayor Mata, excuse me.
We've never been so happy to see you, Councilor Mata, as we are right now.
We'll wait for him to come on so we can give accolades appropriately.
There he is. The man of the moment. Thank you for joining, Mayor Mata, or excuse me, Councilor Mata. We could not do anything without you because we did not have a quorum.
Okay. This is the look of struggles with technology.
Can you hear us, Councilor Mata?
Oh, he can. That's okay. Well, here comes the headphones. Well, thank you for joining us, Councilmember Mata.
Sorry about that. I was late on a job site, but I'm here.
No, we really appreciate it because Garmin was doing his job and was ready to put a kibosh on everything because we didn't have quorum. So,
We're here. Let's get
of
her
course,
done.
When this happens, that people are just really getting, you know, excited to share their work. So thank you for joining us.
Sorry about that.
All right, so back to the agenda. So now I can ask for a motion to confirm the agenda. Well, actually, this is interesting because I'm chairing.
Can I make a motion to accept the agenda?
Okay, let's see. Well, I had a couple of ideas, but of course that was before I was chair.
Do we Karen, have revisions to the agenda?
Yeah.
Or Karen,
would you mind moving to add those two items of discussion that I'd requested for you and the deputy, if you agree that they could be added on?
Yes, I don't know how to do this specifically, but I move to add two more additions to the agenda. It's an update on the $1,000 grant for the healthy environment from the Association of Nurses, and we'll discuss what we want to do with it, and then to revisit education efforts to Burien residents about mitigation opportunities, and maybe we could do that during the Burien block party in August. So who, I move to put those on the agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. So all those in favor of amending the agenda, please raise your hand. So I see Savannah and Jeff, Karen, and Councilmember Mata. Thank you very much. Okay, so the motion passes unanimously. We can add those two items at the end, just because I want to make sure that the previous items have their airtime. Okay. So let's see here. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, great. And all those in favor of approving the minutes from May 19th and June 21st, please raise your hand. So I have myself, Jeff, Savannah, Karen, and Councilmember Mata. So the minutes have been approved unanimously. So our first item of business our climate action plan updates, and I will hand this over to Savannah Sly.
Great, thanks. So mm-hmm. I was able to connect with Paige to discuss the Burien Climate Action Plan. And we looked at it and we compared it to the work of the Burien Airport Committee. And a couple of recommendations emerged. And essentially what I want to do today is share our initial thoughts on crossover work and recommendations, and then get some ideas from you all that I can bring back to Paige so we can keep working on this. So first things first, the Burien Climate Action Plan has a lot of great ideas and recommendations in it, but there's no funding for any of it. So first thing was Paige asked that we consider, as the Burien Airport Committee, looking at certain relevant parts that we could recommend for funding to City Council. That was the first thing that emerged, is we need to fund some of this work to get it done. Out of the action plan, two areas kind of popped out. One was talking about public transportation to reduce pollution, traffic going to the airport from and through Burien, and then also air filtration. With public transportation, if funding could be allocated for public education around what transportation options are available, encouraging use of public transportation. Also, there's two opportunities for collaboration, it seems. One, if we could connect obviously with King County Metro to evaluate and improve public transportation to the airport and share the climate action plan with them if we haven't already, that would be a good move. And then it seems like the port also has a goal of decreasing curbside pickup by 50% by 2023. And they're interested in collaborating with cities on expanding mass transportation, supporting funding for big projects like that. We could probably share parts of the climate action plan with them to see what crossover there is. But public education on transportation objects seems like the lowest hanging local thing that we could provide some funding for to encourage people to not drive single use vehicles. So there's that. Also, looking at air filtration, if we allocated some funding towards community education about air quality, talking about what can be done at home to mitigate in-home pollution from external factors. We talk about air pollution from jet fuels, obviously, but then people are also concerned about particulates from wildfires. So this would be serving the community and ensuring that they could take matters into their own hands to try and protect themselves in their homes through public education. And this could possibly be bundled with notifications about sound insulation. Saw the letter going around about how there's still funding available to put sound insulation in people's homes. It might be a good time to add the message of what people can do at home to reduce air pollution in their homes as well. It might be worthwhile to put a little funding towards some people power hours for research. Are there any deals or programs that exist for air filtration systems? Do we have any connections or outreach to Washington State Environmental and Health Departments that are addressing pollution from wildfire smoke? And also looking to see if there's any similar legislation to noise reduction funding. I poked around and I didn't see any legislation related to addressing air pollution from airport, you know, from gas particulates or wildfire smoke, but looking into that. So long story short, recommending to the council that we put some funding towards public education. One, so that they know about public transportation options, and two, to encourage people to protect themselves in their homes, and then to provide some research hours for looking into any deals or programs that exist for air filtration in homes. Mm-hmm. Then some other things that stood out, and this is where you'll have to forgive me, I'm not quite sure where my work with Paige and the Climate Action Plan begins and ends in some of these other projects that we're working on. So for instance, the FFA recommendations, it seems if we're making recommendations to City Council and they have any input or if they submit recommendations around congressional legislation supporting Rep. Smith's bill 4068, Protecting Airport Communities from Particle Emissions Act. Seems like something we should be supporting. Also, supporting the FFA recommendation around allowing federal funding for reinstallation of noise buffers where the installation has failed. We had also talked several months ago about changing some of our local coding to ensure that that kind of insulation wouldn't be destroyed when homes were remodeled or updated. And maybe we could use our thoughts around that to think ahead around what could be done around air pollution as well. I know that that's kind of thinking ahead, but if there were ever any programs, we don't want to repeat the same mistake of having those improvements demolished. And then also supporting the FFA recommendation to include the SAF blender tax credit and infrastructure grant program in its reauthorization. One or two other things of note that stuck out with the port, working with them to support funding for mass public transportation projects. I mentioned that up at the top, but that stood out as really a great way to reduce pollution in Burien going towards the airport. And also this might be work that START is doing, but monitoring their advancements towards 2050 carbon neutrality. I was really impressed that they already hit their 2030 goal of a 50% greenhouse gas emission. That surprised me, and that's great, but continuing to monitor that work to make sure they're working towards that goal. And then I did have a question from Paige and I. I remember when I first joined this committee, I think there was a presentation on what other airport cities are doing around these exact same problems. Mm-hmm. And if those I forget who gave those presentations, but if there are copies of those around or if anybody can remember, would love to share those with Paige so we can dig into them.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Savannah?
Well, that's a lot of things, and I like most of them. Maybe we can narrow this down a little bit. One thing I will tell you is we know that there are exactly 17 houses in Burien that are not insulated and are eligible. Mm-hmm. I have the list. I think we got it. Garmin, we got that from the START committee, didn't we? I can't keep my committee straight. I'm sorry. So we know exactly who those houses are. I'm particularly interested in the filtration issue because I think that's important. I don't know exactly how that fits in with noise mitigation because in both cases the house has to be tight to a certain extent in order for that to be effective, I think. I'm not aware that there's any programs to provide for air filtration, maybe in the schools.
There are in the schools.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was federal funding for that. We got a presentation. And I agree that they're not really linked, but it seems like we already have a test case with the sound insulation program and learning lessons from that and maybe starting to explore what could be done with an air filtration program, or even something as simple as giving people ideas and recommendations for what they can do in their own home to try and decrease environmental factors, right? Even if it's not a formal program.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jeff, and you might be frozen.
I think he is. So we can wait a little bit. I heard something.
Am I moving?
Now you are.
Wait, we're back.
You're back.
We're back. Okay. Filtration is interesting because I think I don't think in interior air filtration is that difficult. Because I seem to recall that when the bad smoke from the fires was around a year and a half or 2 years ago, I guess, uh-oh, we've lost some people again, that there were some ways to manage that by just taping a filter to a fan.
Exactly. And
collecting the, okay, I'm going to stop talking because I'm not sure anybody can hear me.
We heard parts of you.
No, we heard you. I just think it connects with the, air filtration connect. I mean, it all connects with the climate plan. Is there some kind of agency that gives away fans with filters or something that we could give away to our residents? I mean, I had heard something like that just for the wildfires. I think it all connects myself.
Interesting. Are we talking HEPA filters?
No, I think we're talking about just box fans and putting a duct filter over
it. Not necessarily.
Right.
Or I have seen just box fans, like you said, with a filter behind it that have been giving away to communities just to help with the indoor air during the summer. I mean, that would be like an immediate thing that could show the community that this is what we're doing. You know, we really care about your health.
Mm-hmm. This could also show the community that, there is air pollution, even if we're not experiencing wildfire smoke.
I'm getting about every third word here, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jeff. I think your connection's kind of patchy tonight.
Yeah.
But a way that this all feels connected, and I know that was a lot that I went through. I just wanted to share everything Paige and I talked about. But it seems like asking, because the Climate Action Plan has no funding at all. It's sort of a nice document right now. And so putting some funding potentially towards PSAs around everything being connected. Please use public transportation if you're going to the airport. Airport pollution is real. Here's how you can protect yourself at home. This is a lot like protecting ourselves from wildfire smoke. That could all be wrapped up into a single message to encourage people to also, to everybody do our part, to reduce pollution when we're going to the airport, and also to protect ourselves at home while we explore better solutions.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So we know that these box fans with filters are used when people experience wildfires in Eastern Washington.
Yes.
Interesting.
We got a bunch at our house. And the filters get all nasty. They get all sooty and gross. And
okay.
It's very evident what you're sucking out of the air.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have experience with these? No, I don't see that.
I just want to point out that at least for a moment, we've lost our quorum.
Ah. Oh, whoops.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, here. Jeff is back. Not sure to what extent he can participate.
I can hear you all now.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. You're turning off your video, Jeff, hoping for a little bit more consistent stability. Great. Did you have any comments that I didn't hear a whole lot of what you were trying to say, Jeff? Did you want to repeat?
Oh, and I made such a great speech. No, I just said that I thought that there were some rather inexpensive ways to connect the air filtering with the noise reduction, which is more expensive, and that perhaps that's the part of the same communication package. And I noted that we have a list of the 17 houses in Burien that are not insulated yet, but are eligible for insulation, or may be eligible for the insulation. Once they're deemed eligible, there's a process that the court has to go through to verify that.
Okay.
So it wouldn't, but these are 17 houses that I think have been offered the insulation and have turned it down for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. That's a much smaller number than I thought. I'm curious, Savannah, I know that you did some research. Is there already ready-made information by, I don't know what state agency would be providing education when it comes to wildfires, but about that technique specifically?
I don't know. I could do some research. I remember that was just information that was floating around the community during the 2020 wildfires.
Okay. I'm just curious whether there's public information that if they do exist from a state agency or, you know, another public agency to the community that we can use it as a model.
I'll look into that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it occurs to me that if you were insulating a house, putting some sort of an air filter in would probably be a fairly minor thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's an issue we could raise with the port.
Mm-hmm. Also, yes to that. And also, if the FFA recommendation passes to allow for federal funding for the re-installation of noise buffers in houses where those have failed, and we know that they've been stripped out, it would be good to track those houses or to get some data on how many of those houses they are if that funding becomes available so that we could bundle this messaging.
Yep, mm-hmm. That'd be great. Sophia, the reason you think there's more than 17 houses that need insulation is because there are. But there are only 17 that fall within the 65 dBL parameter.
Right.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Any other input you'd like, Savannah, from the group?
Does this seem like the kind of information that you want? Like, is this helpful? Is this what I should be working on?
Okay.
I think it is, and I think that if you can, maybe there's going to be some money. In the short term, there's not going to be a great deal because we've got a legislative process to go through.
Right.
But some of this stuff, education and filter and contacting the people who haven't been insulated yet, are pretty low-cost things. And maybe your thought process at this point should be, what can we reasonably do that's not going to be a budget buster?
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. I found your presentation helpful. It just gave mm-hmm. little ideas as to what we can do to not only for the climate, but to let people know that we're here working on it.
Mm, yeah.
And also I think that's a big thing. It's messaging. Messaging is just big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So for a next step, would it be reasonable for me to get together with Paige again, offer her the feedback this committee's given, and then start talking to her about what a public education, a small one, might look like to educate on these issues and estimate how much that might cost?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, great. Maybe we can create a proposal for the committee and ultimately it's the city council request, right? If it's a budget item. Okay.
Yeah. Any information?
Yeah, if you don't mind, because obviously we have to be careful about how we're allocating staff time. So I think maybe if you don't mind, kind of chat with me so that I can kind of work with Maya, her manager, her supervisor, to kind of make sure that she has the time to put into what you're doing in addition to the work that she's already doing. But what you're describing and discussing obviously sounds very, very important and so I imagine you're going to want to be involved in and to continue working with you on this.
Great. Yeah, I'll shoot you an email after this. And I don't think that this would be more than, you know, a couple of hours of her time to work with me. And I could take on most of it once I get her input. So I'll shoot you an email.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One piece of information I want to share is that we did have a briefing from our communications team, and Garmin, you can probably describe this better. It was just sort of a check-in with the community about the job that we're doing, for example. And it, a lot of it was to inform us as we go into strategic planning. And the two big sources of information was the magazine and the B-Town blog. So just kind of keep that in your mind in terms of, you know, what do people in the community pay attention to about Burien, and where, how do they get their news?
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Savannah.
Okay. And Savannah, when would be a good time that you would think, a reasonable time to come back and revisit with this?
Perhaps as soon as next month, depending on a conflict I might have. Okay. I can keep it updated. But 2 months max.
Okay, so maybe you can connect with Nathan as the time gets closer. Yeah. We need to post an agenda. Is it like 24 hours notice, Nathan?
Yeah, 24 hours.
Okay, and then you can let him know if you can let him know more than 24 hours before the next meeting, whether you'll be able to share more information that we can get on the agenda.
Great. Yeah.
Usually the Friday before the next meeting is probably best, so the clerks have time to do their stuff too.
Great.
Thanks, Nathan. All right. Thank you, Savannah. That's great. So our next one is the revised FAA reauthorization letter and potential action. And so I'll hand that to Garmin.
Thank you. And I'm going to confess I'm having some sort of connectivity issues, which seems odd because I'm the only person here and normally there are other people here using bandwidth. So I have no idea why I'm having trouble being the only person here. So thanks, Nate. So that means I can take this off and maybe help myself a little bit. So this is the most recent iteration of the draft. There were not a lot of adjustments made to it, but there were, I think, two edits. The first, I think it was just the nature of some wording. I think the more substantive change actually is toward the end in section 3, and I guess it's like paragraph 7 or something toward the end of this document. Let's see, six and it's gonna be 3 and then 7. So when you look at 3, before it made reference to a need to expand, but it was a little unclear as to whether or not the expansion could also include SeaTac. We chatted about that and there was an agreement that the expansion no one's looking for an expansion of SeaTac, but they are willing to have an expansion of some of the other airports or smaller airports, or obviously whenever they're able to get this sorted out, to add an airport to the equation. So you can see that there's some minor adjustments where you can see invest in new airport capacity. And I believe, Nate, stay right where you are, please. In the second sentence in section 3, you can see the CACC's mission to identify a new regional airport and or expansion of other smaller airports, trying to make clear that they're not talking about expanding at SeaTac. So if you've had a chance to read this letter, I get that this would be a good time for us to, or frankly for the BAC to decide whether or not this is something to send to the council for approval. And if there are other edits, we could certainly work on that and see if we can have those edits made as well.
Garmin, I sent my edits back to Brian this morning.
Oh, okay.
So those may come around. I didn't have many. I'm actually pretty impressed with this letter and the form it came out. It is very action-oriented. There's some pushback against continuous studies. There's a request that the FAA be expeditious in giving us information they apparently have. I did have some concerns about this committee because I was afraid it might grow beyond the bounds of functionality, and I would prefer the FAA wasn't appointing the people. But I pass that on to Brian, and I think the START committee will take a look at what I said there.
Okay, those sound like good edits. Were there any other comments or concerns that anyone here had concerning this document? Any other things that you wanted for us to ask about or to seek in terms of edits or changes?
So I agree, this is a great letter. It's actually really educational to read it.
So I think rather than asking for approval at this point, while I don't suspect it'll be dramatically different, I think it would be better to make sure that you have a chance to literally see the final document, make sure that there are no surprises, that there are no edits that you would not agree with. And then at that point, ask for you to send this along to the council for their approval and for us, for the city of Burien, to actually agree to send this off or participate in signing and sending this off to our legislative representatives, if that seems reasonable to everyone. Okay, so I'll bring this back the, okay? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then I'm the next one as well, but I'll leave it for you, Mayor Aragon, to.
Oh, no, please, Garmin, you could start on the START update.
The START update, last START meeting was on the 11th, so last week, and we had, I think I viewed it as three main or primary things that were kind of discussed. We had a representative from its office, I think Thomas Mayo, a legislative aide, and he was talking about the need to streamline the engagement process, litigation. In particular, he spoke a bit about HR 7853, which is Aviation Impacted Communities Act. It's been sent to the subcommittee. He also pointed out that this isn't the first time that it's been raised. And he obviously, because it's not the first time, that means that it is yet to be passed by Congress, but they are trying again. The port noted that there was a concern about the broad definition of community, the term community. The way that the comment was phrased, it was the FAA does not have that capacity. And they were concerned that the FAA would be concerned with the broad term of community. And I think this goes to when you talk about that 65 DNL standard, the idea is to expand the folks that could make complaints about noise and noise impacts, even if they don't meet that threshold. So there's a bit of concern. I think there was also concern from at least one neighboring jurisdiction, just kind of indicating, sure, other jurisdictions that don't meet that threshold may have certain concerns, but they're still not dealing with what we're dealing with, meaning the immediately neighboring or budding communities. So, and it was, I'm not sure that this is necessarily shocking, but I did note it just that citizens in other parts of the country are complaining about noise too. So it's not just SeaTac, it's the seven cities. It clearly is happening in other places as well. And then there was a statement that there was also concern about language needing to be precise and workable. So they're still kind of working on that piece of legislation. Again, no guarantees, no promises. They've said they've brought this before in some form in the past. They've made edits, obviously, and it is yet to be adopted. He certainly did not say that he felt that that confident about it being adopted. The next point was the federal policy update by Eric, I think, Schenfeld. And he indicated that SeaTac received roughly $10 million from the FAA for restroom modernization. SeaTac's awaiting within the next month for an airport runway widening bill. There also was some discussion about what seems to now be the now failed second chance at Build Back Better. There was a discussion about President Biden nominating a new FAA administrator, Mr. Phil Washington, who evidently was the CEO at the Denver airport. I think this was a big deal just because he wasn't necessarily an airline person, but was someone who worked with the airport and maybe had a different view or take potentially from other folks who'd been recently serving in that role. The next, oh, and just for to whatever degree this is helpful, one, the former FAA administrator, Steve Dixon, resigned. And the feeling was is that this person, Phil Washington, was someone that Mr. Little from the port could actually pick up the phone and contact or call. So that's viewed as a good thing.
Lance said he knew him pretty well, actually. So, yeah, that's
Phil
good.
Phil Washington.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
And then the third area that I had was the discussion about the reauthorization letter. They're hoping to streamline the process, and streamlining was meant to flag for FAA to have someone to, well, I think the idea was to streamline that process. There was also discussion about additional regional airports and expansion of existing airports, and the fact that it doesn't mean SeaTac. That's now reflected in the draft you saw, and obviously we'll see the additional edits that Mr. Harbaugh has offered. As well, there was a discussion about the SAMP, which was not on the agenda, but we did briefly discuss it just to understand why the delay. And the understanding was, one, the slowdown was due to COVID from 2020 to present. Well, there was a lot of transition in FAA staff. There are approximately 20 resource categories. As they were changing staff, there was updated data, as well as having to essentially bring everyone up to speed. And then, of course, people sometimes had different perspectives on what they were seeing or what was previously gathered. And then they kind of noted that the aforementioned things are complex and hard to do. And they felt that it was possible that they could have it ready by the end of the year, but they did not want to release it during or around the holidays. And they also indicated they wanted to put out a good product that was comprehensive. So those were the specific items from that. I did want to just share just another point as well. I forwarded something from Burien's lobbyist within the last, I think maybe yesterday, referring to HR 8294. And let me see if I have access to screen share for I do and share. And I'm certainly not gonna try to go through the entire thing with you, but I did wanna point out that this bill or proposed bill 8294, you can see in the section for the FAA, you can see the amounts of money that they are looking at for certain expenses and for certain improvements. So you can see that they have here for necessary expenses of the FAA, not otherwise provided for, including operations and research activities related to commercial space transportation, administrative expenses for research and development, establishment of air navigation facilities, the operation and leasing and maintenance of aircraft. And then we get to some of the numbers, subsidizing the cost of aeronautical charts and maps sold in public, not as focused on that. The lease or purchase of public, the lease or purchase of public motor vehicles for replacement only. And then you can see that there is roughly $11.9 billion to remain available until September 30th of 2024. And then below that, you can see that the amounts made available under this heading, and then you can see these for these different points, how they've shared, how they've kind of allocated some of these monies, some of the money, including roughly $65.5 million for next gen and operations planning activities. So you can, there is, this just gives you a better sense of where they're looking to put some of the money that has been allocated to the FAA. And if I can do this successfully, okay, my screen is not doing weird things. When you look at this bill, and you can see some of the numbers just in general for a variety of things that there, it's not just FAA, but there are a lot of other things that also seem to impact or be impacted by aviation and related activities. All right, so I just wanted to kind of share that. I didn't know if anyone would actually spend their time looking at this bill, and I just figured I'd at least want to give you a little bit of an idea of what, why you received that doc, that information, and what this bill it addresses, at least in a very general way. And I'm sure that Mr. Harbaugh will delve into it in great detail.
Oh, I already read every word.
Here you go. Exactly. All right. So anyway, I think that is it for me in terms of the update from the START meeting.
Thanks, Garmin. Any questions for Garmin or comments about the information? Okay. Thanks, Garmin. All right, so so federal updates, I do not have, and I want to check, Nathan, is there anyone here for public comment?
Mr. Kaplan is in the the other room. He I asked if he wanted to be panelist. He didn't accept, so I'm guessing maybe he doesn't have anything.
Okay, great. And there's no one else, it sounds like. It was Dave there.
Yep.
So I'll spend the last few minutes just talking about the information that Karen's motion talked about. Is first, I got a very small grant, but just hoping to let you know what it is, and there's still time to figure out where it's going to go to. It's $1,000, and it's from the Association of Nurses for a Healthy Environment. They gave these small grants out to nurses across the country to work on environmental issues. And so I wrote about the various things that this committee is doing. A really important component is what they want to do is support nurses who work with community-based organizations to achieve some kind of an objective, and the objective is really up to that nurse. So what this grant may support ultimately is something to do with this committee and how it works with community-based organizations to reach its goal. And so what I get to receive are a number of educational webinars and also some expertise from other nurses who have done more work in their careers to impact environmental issues. So I'm hoping I could use that group to tap into either resources or, for example, there might be some health messaging that could be available to us when it's time about environment and how it links to people's health, so that a lot of what these nurses do is raise awareness, but I think they also want to support some action. So as I move along in these webinars, and they're only every quarter, I believe, but I'm also working with groups of nurses who were kind of this cohort. I think what would be helpful is in this committee, identifying those community organizations where you think that we can have some collaboration with to engage in the project. So that sounds kind of vague. So I'll just stop right there and see if there are any questions or thoughts at this time. This is just the beginning of a conversation because this literally just started. Okay. All right. So I'll just say though, in my experience with the airport committee, the community-based organizations that I just sort of see as part of the landscape, Garmin mentioned them before. There's a Beacon Hill, I forget what they're called. It's like a neighborhood committee. And so they're the ones that talk about their impact, although they're outside of the 65 DNL. I heard, for example, there's communities at Vashon that come to start and give some testimony, although I'm not sure they're actually organized as a organization or whether they're just individuals expressing concern. Garmin might know a little bit more. And this is more secondhand because I don't go to START committees. So those are some big examples, I think, of organizations that this grant could particularly sort of support a convening or something. So I can share some ideas I have as time goes along about this grant, or if any of you have ideas, I'm open to that as well. And then the second piece I wanted to bring up, because I was thinking about our discussion last time around public education, and it came up again, and I noticed that we do have a block party coming up, and just wondering if there's any opportunity there to provide some education and perhaps with the port about other the packages that are out there in terms of eligibility. I know that Jeff was, that's something that you emphasized was that, you know, while this might be an available benefit, people actually have to know whether they're eligible or not. So that might be part of it. But was wanting to throw that out there as a opportunity somehow for education.
When is the block party?
I have it on my refrigerator. I don't know. Karen, would you know?
Sometime mid-August. It's okay. August 13th. It's the Boulevard Park block party. And it would be a great opportunity to even let people know what we do as a committee or that there is a committee. Because Boulevard Park is right under the flight path. So there's a lot of people who don't have any information. We have a lot of new people who are moving into the area too. So it would be a good educational opportunity.
Okay.
If we have flyers or in just basic information, mm-hmm. I don't know.
What would we tell them?
Well, you could share information about the available packages at the port and where would they look to see if they're eligible. One, they could engage with the airport committee. I mean, they can come and either engage in this discussion and public comment, or if you're willing to say, you can reach out to committee members and share what your concerns are, or if you have questions. And I'm wondering if there's information that is just available on our website about this committee and how to plug in. So those are, to me, kind of low hanging things. Now, what question for me is, if there's the block party, Velma or Karen or any committee members would be willing to go. I'm making some assumptions that there is a City of Burien booth. I don't know if Nathan or Garmin, if you know there's such a thing. Another thing that might be out there, I think that's usually out there regularly, are Discover Burien booths. I don't know if that is a possibility if you're going to give out some information. But I know they coordinate these events. So we would have to explore what's available at that time. Reactions?
Do you want me to see if there will be a City of Burien or Discover Burien booth there?
Sure.
I could do that and okay. See what they will provide or okay. What times they will be out there.
Okay.
I am sending that request as well, just to okay. See if I can get a response. It looks like we just missed the old old Burien block party this past weekend, but I do see that for August 13th, there is the Boulevard Park block party for a few hours.
Okay. Yeah, I think because Boulevard Park is such an impacted area, that's kind of a perfect event. I'm not sure Old Burien would necessarily reach who you want. So that's pretty key. And Dave is, I think he's on. So Dave, if you can hear us and if there's ready-made information about that we could share with the public about any kind of mitigation packages and, you know, where would they look to see if they are eligible and that we can hand out readily, that would be great. Well, there's Dave. Yeah. And then I could check on our website about us. Oh, hi, Dave.
Yeah, as we've shared before, the package information is sent directly to the homeowners who are within 65 DNL. So it's really that targeted group within there who have not either haven't previously responded affirmatively that they want to consider it. you know, and change of ownership of the house makes a difference there too. Plus the additional effort that's been made in terms of reach out over the last 2 years in particular. So, okay. Yeah, as Jeff noted, I think there are 17 homes that are still eligible in Burien.
That aren't being insulated. There are some that are eligible and have been approved, and that'll happen over the next couple of years.
Correct.
So it could just be about the airport committee itself at the block party. Yeah. Does that sound okay? Something to explore?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And would someone be willing to actually be there to answer questions about the committee?
I would check. I could be there in the daytime. Okay. I don't know what the hours are of the block party. I don't know if it's in the evening or what, but I have plans in the evening. Would it be also appropriate to bring information about North SeaTac Park? There is also a group about North SeaTac Park as far as helping keeping it alive and volunteer opportunities there. Would that be an appropriate place to bring that information, or is that more of a SeaTac thing? I don't know what.
I guess my feedback to that is that if the goal is to just sort of elevate this committee as a place to play about how your quality of experience at home, and engage in that, that would be great. I mean, because I think while this is an important topic, the North SeaTac part, it might
make it money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thank you.
Okay. That's my thought. Anyone else have comments on that? Okay. So we're at 7:04. We're a little over time. There's one thing, let's see on the agenda if there's something else that we need to cover. There is not. I just wanted to follow up with Jeff about the 17 houses, and perhaps Dave, if you have comments about that. So there's these 17 houses. Were you wanting to talk about what else can be done for the 17, or just mentioning that there are 17? And they're
those
there.
Those houses have been contacted.
Okay.
And for one reason or the other, have chosen not to be tested to see if they're eligible for insulation. Okay. And I'd made some noise about contacting them, and Garmin had commented, probably appropriately, that we can't be seen as pushing them into something they don't want.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't that thought of, so we know this, and therefore suggestions about hope of more encouragement, but it doesn't sound like that was what you had. Okay. All right. So it looks like we have some action steps that Savannah is going to continue doing some research with Paige, and then hopefully report back at our next meeting, and she'll coordinate with Nathan the Friday before if she's able to do that, given other things she's juggling in the summertime. And then Karen will contact this Discover Burien in the city about whether there's a booth available. Garmin has already sent an email and can update us about what he hears back. And so if Karen's availability is during Boulevard Park, then we will give information available about the Burien Airport Committee and encourage people to plug in, because that's what I heard. Okay.
And so I just to kind of make sure you can see that there is a reference on the webpage. You can also see that there's also a just learn more on Discover Burien's website. So I don't know if that means they have a booth or just that they're the ones kind of organizing and assisting and putting it together. But I'm actually going to, we'll all see together if there's information. You can see the little notice about low resources, which I can't understand given I'm the only one here.
Okay, great.
Bicycle Rodeo. Okay. Just one other thing. The two items that you added, just so that we can accurately identify them in the minutes, how would you like for them to be identified?
ANHE grant. Well, I'll say Association of Nurses for a Healthy Environment grant. I think you can, that's a simple way to state the grant. And then second is public education on Burien Airport Committee during the Boulevard Park Block Party. I think that'd be the second one.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Karen, with that time frame, 12 to 10, do you feel like you'll be available? No pressure to say yes, but given that you kind of know.
I could be there from like noon to 4.
Okay.
I could do that.
Okay, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, I'm also available, so just...
Oh, thanks, Jimmy. Okay, great. Well, with Council Member Mata there, you'll attract a whole bunch of people.
I know. And food, too.
They're going to have fun learning about this committee now that he'll be there. Okay. Thank you, Council Member Mata. All right, so I think we're at the end of our agenda. So if there's no objections, this meeting is adjourned at 7:08. That's great. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.